We're going to start in Genesis today. Genesis 6. I'm going to give you an in-depth study today. But I don't have time for it, so you're going to have to do it yourself. I'm just going to whet your appetite for it today. We're going to start in chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 5 through 13. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jehoshaphat. Whatever his name is.
Right.
That's right. It's written. Different story there, I guess. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Genesis 7, 11 through 15. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into Noah, they went unto Noah in the ark, and two of flesh wherein is the breath of life. Now we're going to go to Revelation. These two stories, Genesis all the way through, the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter, talk about Noah. And then in Revelation, I think it starts in chapter 4 all the way through. These two stories are so much alike. I mean, you can practically go verse for verse and match it all the... That's why I say it's a very in-depth. I don't have time to get into it. But it's very interesting if you guys would just take the time to go and do the study on it. I'm going to start in chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it, on him, was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth go a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together upon the supper of the great God. That you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I show the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived, that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with in their bellies. I want to show you some of the similarities in Genesis and Revelation. In Genesis and Revelation, there were mockers in both before the flood and then before Jesus comes, making fun of Noah. Then and now, there are mockers making fun of Christians today. It took about 2,000 years from creation to the flood, roughly. And then from the flood to the death of Jesus was another 2,000 years. And then from death of Jesus till now, it's 2,000 plus years. During each 2,000 year period, God gave many warnings that he was going to destroy the earth and all that was not for him. During the 120 years it took Noah to build the ark, God was constantly having Noah warn the people of the coming flood and destruction. In the 2,000 plus years since Jesus died, the Holy Spirit has been warning people. And he's going to use the last 7 years of the world before he returns to warn people as never before to the tribulation. In Genesis, time ran out when the doors were closed on the ark and the first drop of rain fell. It was too late. In Revelation, time runs out when a trumpet sounds and Jesus appears in the clouds. It will be too late. You really need to look at the story of Noah in Genesis and read Revelation about the return of Jesus so that you can compare all the similarities of these two events in time. See that God doesn't just take out people with judgment without first warning them over and over again. God never gives warnings without providing a way out. The way out of destruction and death for the flood was to get on a boat. That's all they had to do. The way out of destruction and revelation is through the blood of Jesus. How many of you know that time ran out for Jesus too? Not Jesus in the spirit, but Jesus in the flesh. It was an appointed time, but he still was out of time. Jesus had a road to go down. At the end was his end. It led to the cross. Now we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew 27. And this is just a picture of the road that Jesus had to go down. And when they had planted a crown of thorns they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. That's just a picture of the road he had to go down. When the first drop fell, it was too late. When the trumpet blows, it'll be too late. When the first drop of blood fell from Jesus, it was right on time. This all said, are you ready for eternity with Jesus? Or if you died today, would it be too late for you? Don't let it be too late. Let us help you go down the path that leads to the cross before it's too late. Take this as your warning. Jesus is the way out of any problem or situation. And in John 14:6, you'll find it there. Now do you have, you going to come up here and give that story? All right. He's going to come up here and he's going to tell a story of Mr. Noah. And then after that, I'll have Cecil play a song. And most all of you have heard this song, but after hearing this, I hope it'll put a different spin on the song for you. So.
We used to have Junior Catawba Church with the little kids and had like 100 kids or 150 kids or whatever it was. I don't even remember. And we used to drive buses and go. We had what we called bus ministry. I guess that was what it was called. I don't know. Bus calling, you know, here, bus. And we go out on Saturdays and we go to all these houses of parents that wouldn't come to church, but they would let their kids come to church. They would say, yeah, my kid needs to go to church. Well, why don't you bring them? Oh, no, you take them, preacher, you know. And so every week, we did this for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years when we were in that church, and we'd bring all these kids in, and we'd have church on the bus. That's what we did. That's one thing I liked, was having church on the bus on the way to church and sing songs and teach kids stuff. And then we'd have junior church, and, you know, we're a church like this, but all you were little smidgens, you know. And then afterwards, we'd have church on the way home and sing songs and teach them stuff. It was really fun. Well, one of the things that they liked was the story of Mr. Noah. And I'll tell that. Junaya still sitting there. She was a little kid. She's going, I like that story. I love that story. I want to hear it. I was just waiting to see if they were coming, you know. The way the story goes is Mr. Noah was a bus captain. He used to go pick up all these kids, okay, because all these were bus kids, you know. And so Mr. Noah would every Saturday, he'd go out and he'd knock on doors and he'd tell the kids, you coming tomorrow? You want me to come by? And they'd go, oh yeah, we want you to come. Yeah, we're going, right, mommy, daddy? Yeah, okay. So then, and he'd go door to door and he'd tell all these kids. I think Mr. Noah took his little daughter around with him, you know, to go see all these kids. But anyway, and so then on Sunday, he'd go and drive the bus and pick up the kids and bring them to church. But he was doing this the whole time that he was building the ark. You know, how long, does anybody know how long he was building the ark, Noah? Oh, y'all read the story. And, oh, did you? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that part. I thought I was reading the verses, but I must have missed something. And so anyway, 120 years. And so he's picking all these kids up, bringing them to church. Well, now the boat gets done. He starts building the boat. While he's building the boat, some of the parents started, as the boat was getting going, some of those parents said, you can't go over there. That guy's crazy, because everybody was making fun of him, because here he is building a boat out in the middle of a desert. It had never rained in time. It had never rained, because when you go back and study, what it says is that the whole world was covered. There was like water. The air was water in the air, and you didn't have to have rain. It was just, everything was moist, and water had never, it had never rained. So Mr. Noah's telling people it's going to rain. What? Said it's going to rain, and the people are thinking he's crazy because he's building this boat. Well, people think we're crazy when we tell them that Jesus is coming. People tell us, it's like a song. What, it's been 2,000 years? Come on, let's get real. You know, do you really think he's coming? And so Mr. Noah, he kept going around, knocking on doors, and every week his crowd of kids was getting smaller, because the parents didn't want to identify with him. They didn't want their kids hanging out with this crazy man who's building a boat out in the middle of the desert, saying that water's going to fall out of the air. Like, right, it's never done that before. But every week he was faithful, out knocking on doors, trying to get those kids. And every week when he'd go to pick them up, you know, one student at a time, the parents wouldn't let them come. And finally, it had got to where none of the kids were coming anymore, because the parents didn't want them to associate with this crazy guy. Some of them thought that about me when I was going to pick them up, because I'd act crazy on the bus, you know. And like when we would be driving down the road and we would see, I would teach these kids, because what God was telling me was that their parents weren't teaching them. Their parents weren't caring about them enough. I'd go there and their parents were drunks and druggies and just caught up in their own life and their own pain, and we're neglecting these kids. And so God started telling me, I want you to teach these kids things that they need in their life. Teach them about how to live, and teach them about values, and teach them, give them whatever you want to call them, standards in their life. And so one of the things we would do with the kids is we'd be driving down the road and we'd see I'd teach them against drinking. Well, the kids didn't have any problem believing that they shouldn't drink, because they lived with parents that drank, you know, and the things that the parents did to them. So we'd be driving down the road and we'd see I'm driving a church bus, right, with about 100 kids on it, and we'd see a beer truck go by. So all the kids, I'd say, there's another one! And the kids would all jump up and run over to that side of the bus. And as we drove by the truck, we would yell out, I hate beer! I hate beer! Beer is bad! And the kids would just be doing that. And it was fun. And we used to have that all the time. We did that. Because you know what? These kids, you know, you could just tell them, but we made a game out of it, you know. We had fun, and the kids loved that. But finally, as the boat was being built and the people quit letting their kids come, and Mr. Noah kept going and knocking on doors and would say, you know, wouldn't you like to come this week? And the kids would be looking at the parents, and the kids wanted to come because they enjoyed being on the bus, but the parents wouldn't let them come. You're not going with that crazy man. And so now the boat is done, and God starts speaking to all the little animals, and animals start coming and getting on the boat. Okay? So now people are watching, because here's animals coming from everywhere, and they're coming in twos. And here's all these animals, and they'd just be watching. Here comes some giraffes, and they'd come, and they'd go on, and people are like, what is going on here? You know, and here comes some antelope, and they come by twos, and they'd get on the boat, and here comes some aardvarks. You know, they were Dutch, because, you know, all the Dutch have double A's in their name, you know, so they were aardvarks. And here comes these Dutch aardvarks, and they'd walk down the road, and I just told that to a Dutch customer the other day. I said, because he had some name with double A's. I said, oh, aardvark, they're a Dutch, aren't you? And So here comes these Dutch aardvarks, and they come walking down, and they just walk right up the ramp and get up on the bus, on the, get on the bus. No, 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 not the bus, guys. Just get on the boat. So they all, and so the boat gets all filled up with these animals, and Mr. Noah was saying to the kids, and he was standing on top, and here's what you need to understand. He kept saying, get on the boat. Get on the boat. The water's coming. And if you don't get on the boat, it'll be too late. And the animals kept coming. And Mr. Noah kept telling them, get on the boat. Get on the boat. The water's coming. If you don't get on the boat, it will be too late. And he kept telling them. And finally, the boat, all the animals that were supposed to come and get on the boat, got on the boat. And if you'll read over in the book of Genesis, it says, now get this, God shut the door. God shut the door. If there's a verse in the Bible, it says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I've dealt with people through the years that said, oh, I'll get saved when I'm older. I'll get saved, you know, when I'm old. And then I'll come to Jesus. And I say to them, is God dealing with you? Well, yeah, you know, it's real uncomfortable. God's pulling on my heart. But I got too much to do right now. Life, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to waste my time like that. I want to live. I want to have fun. I want to run with my friends. When God's drawing you, that's when He's drawing you. We told you, I think, the story about a girl we know. I've told some of you. I don't know if you've all heard it. I've told this story within the last 10 years. Yeah, Rick. I've told this story within the last 10 years. A girl we know, her dad was a deacon in our church. And God would deal with her. She would get in trouble. And God would deal with her about salvation. And whenever this girl would get caught doing stuff she shouldn't be doing when she was a teenager, she would, at the end of a service, she would go up and she would cry and act like she was repenting and act like she was coming back to God and she was sorry because she had been caught doing something and she was going to have the boom lowered on her. And what would happen is her dad and her mom, her dad who was going to beat the tar out of her, would be all happy that she supposedly came back to the Lord and gave her life to the Lord, which she was just acting. She wasn't really making that decision. And what ended up happening was she kept playing with God for years when God dealt with her. God would draw her, just like God was drawing people to that boat. They could see all these animals coming. The people knew they should get on the boat. But they didn't want to associate with crazy Noah. This didn't make sense. I can't figure this out with my little head. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't need to get on the boat. I'm fine. This girl ended up, got married. This girl we know. I think her name was Michelle. And she got married. And everything's fine. And her husband likes... Her husband likes doing the motorcycle. Right. And one day, she gets a call. And says, you need to come down here because we think we've got your husband. And I won't explain it all, but she went there, and her husband had got in a motorcycle accident, and he didn't walk around no more. He didn't eat food anymore. He wasn't here anymore. His body was there. And she went there and saw this was her husband, the body he had lived in. And she fell apart, of course, and then she decided, I better get to God. So she went to church, and when she went to church and the preaching went on, instead of like it was all the time through her teenage years where God would draw her and touch her, she'd go to church and she couldn't feel nothing. And she would say, God, I want to get my life right. I want to come to you. And it was just like she was speaking on deaf ears. And this went on for a long time. And this girl was getting desperate because she thought, if I died, I don't like where I would go. And she came to my wife's and my house. And she said, I go to church. And God's dealing, she says, I go to church and I see God dealing with people in the church, but it never touches me. And I try to go to God and I try to pray. And she said, it's dead. And we told her, when God calls you, you better move. Because he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. That was in Genesis. He just missed that verse. But that's what it says. My spirit will not always strive with man. And God was calling people to come get on the boat. And he told them, if you don't get on the boat, it will be too late. And one day, God reached down and he shut the door on the ark. And then, here's this boat out in the middle of a desert. And he'd been telling them for 120 years. Some people are a little thick. They don't get it, 120 years? Dude, get on the boat. There was 8 people on the boat. 8 people out of the whole world. But there was room for a lot of people. And they didn't get on the boat. And Mr. Noah kept warning them, please get on the boat. It's getting ready to rain. Get on the boat. And finally God reached down and shut the door. And what started to happen was people were out in their yards and little drops of water started falling. And they were like, what is this? And somebody said, I think it's rain. And one of the little kids that used to ride the bus with Mr. Noah, his name was Johnny, and he came running to the ark and he said, Mr. Noah, Mr. Noah, this water falling out of the air, these drops, Mr. Noah, is this what you were talking about? And Mr. Noah was crying. And Mr. Noah said, yes, Johnny, it's called rain. And he said, but Mr. Noah, open the door so I can get in. And he said, I'm sorry, Johnny, but it's too late. And Johnny just felt this rain, just little drops. And Johnny went home. And the next day when Johnny woke up in the morning, the water, it had rained enough where the whole ground was wet. And there you go. And the water was about ankle deep and it started to come in the house. And he said, Mom, what happened? And she said, I don't know. I've never seen this before. And Johnny knew what it was. And Johnny ran to the ark, running through the water. And he gets there and goes, Mr. Noah! Mr. Noah! You need to open the door! The water's coming! He goes, I know, Johnny, but it's too late. You didn't get on the boat. And the next day when Johnny got up, the water was to his knees. And he ran back to the ark. Mr. Noah, please, you gotta open the door. Mr. Noah, you remember me. You hugged me every week. You told me you loved me. Open the door. He said, I can't. God shut the door. He spoke to you. He spoke to your parents. But you didn't believe. And now, it's too late. The next day, it was waist deep. And he's working his way through the water. And he gets there. Please, Mr. Noah, you got to open that door. I'm sorry. It's too late. You needed to get on when God was calling you. You needed to get on. I told you. I told you for a long time. The next day he had to swim there. Please, Mr. Noah, please. We're not making it, Mr. Noah. And it wasn't just Johnny. It was everybody is at that ark. Please open the door. We believe you now. Okay, just you got to let us in. And Mr. Noah said, I can't. You had a chance. God dealt with you. He drew on your heart. But you put it off. And now it's too late. When God is drawing you, don't put it off. Please don't play with God. Please don't wait. The Bible says a just man falls seven times but rises up again. You see, your life, you're either walking toward God or you're walking away. You could say, well, I believe in God and I love God and I have warm fuzzies. I feel so good because I meet them every day. They tell me that. But he's asking you, come, walk with me. Come, get on the boat. Come to me. You see, he's all about relationship. And his hands are right out to you. Come. Because I love you. Come. Come to me. But he allows you to make your own choices. You make your own choices. Your mom and dad, if you're a mom and dad, the choices you make are going to affect your kids more than you realize. The nuts don't fall too far from the tree. And you know what? We make choices. And God's drawing you. God's calling you. God loves you. But you know what? There's a time. You don't come. You don't just get to come when you want. If God's drawing you, come. If God is calling you, come. Because you don't just get to come when you want. That lady left our house that day begging us, please tell me what to do. Please. I've gone to everybody. I've tried everything. I can't get to God. I go to church. God's all over the place. But he's not doing, he won't do anything in me, and no matter what I pray or whatever, it doesn't work. Because she played with God for years. When God drew her, she played a game. Nope, I'm going to go party. No, I'm going to sit here and put on the little front while I'm in church. But then I'm going to leave and go and live this life of sin away from God. God is calling you because God loves you. God wants you. He wants you. He wants you. When God's calling you, come. We don't have all the answers. People come to us. I think they think that we carry a little God magic wand or a little God magic cross in our back pocket. And we're going to wave it over your life. We've got all the answers. We don't. But we'll help you along the journey. But it's you making choices. And God will give you one baby step at a time. One step. I remember I told that to a lady one time. Actually, she heard it from our preacher. And I remember she told my wife, I don't want to deal with that right now. I'll just put that to the side. And I'm just going to walk with God, you know, and get God to bless my life. And she said, how can, if God is telling you to do this, you can't just tell God no and go on with something else. She said, yeah, I'll just put it to the side. She said, then you won't walk with God because he won't change his mind. If he's dealing with you, he's dealing with you about something, you need to come and bring it to God. This kind of church is it's a relationship. It's because we want to have a real relationship with God. We care about you here. And one of the things I want you to know is when you come here, this is called an altar. And an altar is a meeting place with God. And when God's drawing you, God's dealing with you, during the service, at the end of a service, or after a service, you could come and do business with God. And you know how easy it is? Reach down and touch your knee. All you got to do is touch your knees to the floor. It's that simple. You touch your knees, you just bow before God. Is it that simple? I mean, am I making this up? You don't want to think it was, is it really that simple? We just say, yes, Lord. Because he loves you. And he won't, even when you fall, he won't give up on you. That's the neatest thing. He'll not give up on you. But when he's calling, you need to respond.
Time, time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. And time, time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, though we're drinking, marrying, laughing, as in the days of Noah, what a fool they say to build a boat on sand. What a fool they say. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And what a fool they say to fast and pray. And what a fool they say. Come on, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think that he's coming? Come on, let's just get real. But remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. But one day, 2 days, 3 days gone by, and time, time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion. And many, 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 many scoffers will rise in that day, and they'll say, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained.
Too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late.